Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Let me ask you a question. What is the number one product you have in your practice? And I've said this before, the number one product we have in our practice, the only differentiation we really have is our people. We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple. All right, so what is our goal with the hygiene visit? Our goal is, number one, we wanna represent our practice very well. We wanna make sure we're maintaining their hygiene, oral health of the patient. But more importantly, and equally as important, if not more important, is we need to kind of help our patients know what's going on in the mouth, what we recommend that's going on in the mouth, and assess their readiness for what's going on in the mouth. So we call this the assess, recommend, and ready approach to develop hygiene restorative partners. And honestly, the same thing applies to our assistants when we're doing limited exams. So kind of give you a little background or a kind of little bit of why I'm doing this we believe that hygiene exams or new patient exams should be in the 5-minute ballpark, and that we employ or that we have our team members be more involved in their overall diagnosis and everything. And now I know legally the team members can't diagnose, only the dentists can. That's why we call it assessment. So we teach them to make assessments. And here's what we know. Those of you that have been following or learning like this all along is that most of our team members, they kind of know what's going on. It's no different than when you go to a doctor's office, you get an x-ray read, and the x-ray tech always says, well, I'm not the doctor, so I can't take my word for it. But I've seen thousands and thousands of these, and more than likely this isn't a fracture or this is a fracture. And they kind of go over those things with you because they've seen it thousands of times. And somehow in dentistry, we limit our team members from being partners in our overall patient care process. So step one is we want to teach our team members to make an assessment of what's going on. Maybe you call this pre-diagnosis, maybe you call it diagnosis, but kind of an assessment. What's going on? Hey, Meredith, we noticed that you have a lot of older dentistry that looks like it needs updating. It can be as simple as that. It doesn't necessarily have to be you have, tooth number three needs this, tooth number two needs this. It doesn't have to be that detailed. In fact, in our case acceptance process at a 3D business bootcamp, we talk about or teach what's called a layered case acceptance approach, where we start from a 30,000 foot view, and then we kind of dive down a little bit as the patient gets further down towards saying yes, then we kind of go into more and more details of it. So the assessment might start with like, hey, Meredith, we're noticing that, or were you aware that we have a lot of older dentistry that needs updated? I'm concerned. Left untreated, this could become bigger problems down the road. So that kind of takes care of the assessment part of things. Hey, Mrs. Jones, I'm so sorry that you are having pain in the bottom left-hand side here. In looking in your mouth and looking at your x-rays, it looks like you may have an infection on your tooth that's causing the pain. So again, just the assessment, okay? What's going on? What's happening? Again, big picture view of what's happening. And then we move in. Have you ever thought, what makes my practice unique, or how are we different, and how do I get my team to understand this, or how do I get my patients to understand this? This is what's called your unique selling proposition. And every business that is successful understands their USP, or their unique selling proposition.
So today's episode, I wanted to mention, we mentioned it in a prior podcast when we talked about team retreats. And that's kind of when you came up with this for our team, like letting them know how great we are, like reminding them how great they are to the patients, and that it's an honor to want to be in our practice. And then we also mentioned it in our last mastermind, and you wrote USP5, and they asked what was USPS, and you very confidently said United States Parcel Service.
Yeah, Postal Service.
Postal Service.
Not Parcel Service, United States Postal
Service. I was
thinking Service.
UPS. So let's get into what we have come up with as 3D USP5, what you've named it. And let's start with, I think, what we have hopefully branded 3D Dentist as is clinical excellence. Yeah.
Thank you, Meredith.
Yes.
For the USPS handwriting joke, okay? Listen, before we get into this, I want us to understand why we're talking about our USP5. And because too often when we're quote unquote selling dentistry, or we're helping patients choose dentistry, we're focused on the technobabble, the technical aspects of what we're doing. And that's educating the patients. And no patients, very few patients, want to be educated. You know, buying anything is not a logical decision process for 90% of the people out there. Buying is an emotional process. So that's where we have to understand our unique selling proposition, or our USP5, as I like to call it, and how that fits into the conversation that we're talking about. And so Meredith talked about number one, because it's the non-negotiable for any practice, in my opinion, any practice, and certainly for anybody that comes to 3D dentists, and that's clinical excellence. We provide clinical excellence in our practices, you know, and I think sometimes our team members forget, or maybe we don't provide clinical excellence, or we're striving to provide clinical excellence. And what I mean by clinical excellence is, if I were the patient in the chair, myself, my mom, my dad, you know, my best friend, what materials, what equipment, what technique would I use? And is that how I serve every single one of my patients? And that's clinical excellence to me, from the type of materials we use, from the brand of products that we use, from the modernness of our equipment and materials. We provide clinical excellence. And I think sometimes our team members are so numb, not to use that word, but they're so numb to what clinical excellence is standardized that they often don't know how this actually operates in other offices.
Yeah. So,
you know, like, for example, you know, I've had people come to one of our implant programs, and they're like, yeah, I just buy all my bone in 2 cc increments, and then I just kind of siphon off half a cc at a time because it saves me money. I'm like, that's bordering on unethical and illegal. That's not how those products are designed. And then I'm thinking to myself, how do your team members let you do that?
Yeah.
Because if I tried to do that, my team members would like beat me up or something.
Yeah. I don't know if they'd beat you up, but they would definitely say, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I do want to add,
because
when
the Indian in me wants to do that sometimes.
When I started working for you, and I wanted to go dental school, you said, so this is not the norm. I need you to go work somewhere else.
Yeah.
I said, are you firing me? You said, no, I just need you to see other offices. I just need you to see how things are ran in different places. And I think for some of our team members, especially ones who haven't worked in dentistry for 20 years and seen all different kinds of things, they don't know that this isn't the norm. And I think that's what you mean by like numb by it. They've just been... it's so accommodating, it's so easy to just do the right thing that they don't know any different.
Yeah. They don't understand that not all dentists, not all practice owners are committed
strive
to absolute clinical excellence.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that our work is the best.
Right.
It just means that we attempt the best.
And
we do the right thing, man. That's what clinical excellence is for me, is like we're gonna do the right thing.
Yeah.
If your tooth needs a filling, we're going to do a filling.
Right.
We're not trying to make some number.
Yeah.
If the tooth needs a crown, we're going to do a crown.
Yeah.
You know, if I treat and plan it for a filling and it turns into a crown, more than likely, I'm just going to do the crown and call it a day.
Yeah. You know? One of the things I always loved that you said, and then we'll get into the next topic, is when you did consults, when mm-hmm. I did consults with you, you would always say, if you were my sister, if you were my mom, this is what I would do. If you were Meredith's dad, this is what I would do. And I think that made the patient feel like, oh, okay, well, he's... You know, it's almost kind of an emotional connect because the patient knows you're not just stating off all these things that could be done. I think when doctors say, well, we could do this or we could do this, and you're giving them the option, it's almost like they don't feel confident in their diagnosis, and the patient can read that and feel that.
Yeah, and a lot of that comes from clinical excellence.
Yeah.
You know, this is our standard of caring you know, as for our patients, and this is what we do. I'm not saying what standard of care is, but I have my own level of standard of care so that I can sleep at night and be confident and comfortable and look people in the face.
Right, and see them years down the road and it also still be good.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about...
Let me ask you a question. What is the number one product you have in your practice? And I've said this before, the number one product we have in our practice, the only differentiation we really have is our people. And it's the human capital is the number one product, the only way to really differentiate yourself, and the number one investment you should be making in your practice. You've got to invest in your people. Now, why do we want to talk about this in this week's episode? Frankly speaking, what we've seen at 3D Dentist is we've seen less and less team members being a part of our training programs. And when I ask dentists why they're not bringing the team members, oftentimes they'll give the standard common current excuse, which is, you know, they don't want to travel. I'm afraid to lose people, X, Y, Z. But I'm hearing more and more dentists say to me, you know, I don't know if this is going to be the right team member. I don't know if they're going to stick around. And it reminds me of a saying from Henry Ford, or one that's contributed to Henry Ford. And what happens if you invest in people and they don't stick around, but what happens if you don't invest in people and they do stick around? That's like the worst, Meredith.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that I never invested in you and you've stuck around 8 years.
Yeah. And you couldn't get rid of me.
I couldn't, you know, you're the same person as 8 years ago, you know? And so we've got to invest in our people, you know, or we're never going to get anywhere.
Right.
And so there's really only about three choices that we have to solve this. In fact, when Meredith read this on the board, you said, this one must be a joke. So what's number one?
Would be to work alone, which I'm not even sure that that's possible for some of this stuff. Like, that's not even an option.
Yeah, but the whole point of saying work alone, and when I say that to anybody, they kind of get the point.
Right.
They're like, literally, like, we don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, because we can't work, we shouldn't work alone.
Right.
But the other point of that is that we stop growth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Growth comes directly from our investment in people,
mm-hmm.
their growth.
Right.
Like, the more our people around us grow, the more our business grows.
Right.
It's the only way we grow.
It's funny because we've been talking about people a lot. We just did a podcast a few weeks ago about the five people you surround yourself with. And, you know, that kind of goes true in the office too. I mean, yes, you pick the people that you're surrounded by, but it's like when patients come in and they meet your treatment coordinator mm-hmm. or they meet your hygienist and they're able to use all this technology that we have and they're able to throw implants up on the screen. It could be forward, backwards, inside out. They don't know. They're like, wow, look at what she can do. I wonder what the doctor can do.
Yeah, more,
you know?
More than they're disappointed when I come in.
They're like, she's smarter. No, I'm just kidding.
So choice number one is you can choose to work alone. And what I really mean by that, or you can just choose to stay where you're at.
And then you're kind of limited.
You're limited.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's always a choice.
Yeah.
You know, listen. Ease, this is from Denzel Washington.
You're all about you've got all the quotes today.
it's the stuff I'm listening to. Ease is the enemy of progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if
we take the easy way, we're not going to make progress.
Yeah.
To make progress, we've got to take the difficult road.
Yeah.
Most often.
Right.
Okay. So keeping things the way they are, working alone, just status quo, is going to keep the same problems that you have.
Right.
What's choice number two? the number one ability is your availability. And so in dentistry, your ability or your best ability is your availability, and that really translates into your schedule. So if you're a busy practice and you're trying to grow your revenue and get control of your practice, it really revolves around your schedule. Your schedule, it is what is holding you back. And I want to talk about that this week. So let's get into this week's episode and let's get into that a little bit more. So how did this topic come up and what made me want to talk about this week? And really, it has to do with sports. You know, I enjoy sports. I'm not a raving fan or anything like that, but I do enjoy sports. And a couple of people have been on the Sports Center and the YouTube and stuff like that when it comes to sports. And one is Anthony Davis. And many people say Anthony Davis is an amazing basketball player, maybe one of the top five basketball players in the NBA. But the problem is that he's hardly, or you know that he's not going to be available all season long. And so what that means is, no matter how great someone is, no matter how, you know, amazing they are, if they're not available, they're really doing you no good. And then the other person that came to mind was Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. He's trying to go through a contract negotiation, and, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, for whatever reason, good or bad, don't seem to be ready to give him a long-term deal, and certainly not a 100% guaranteed contract, because there have been very few, if any, season that Lamar Jackson has been available the entire season. In fact, the last two seasons, he's missed the last five or six games of the year, and the playoffs is when, which is when you need your star player the most. So how and why does that translate into dentistry? It doesn't matter how good of a dentist you are. It doesn't matter how many patients you have coming in. It doesn't matter what clinical skill sets you have. If you're not available for your patients, or when your patients want to come in, then what good are those skill sets? And this came up in a recent office hours we were doing with our mastermind group, and Eric was talking about how he had a patient that came in that didn't want to take photos because he thought they were going to cost money. And then he says, no, the photos are free. It's just part of what we do. And he took these photos. And the next thing you know, she decided that she wanted to have several cosmetic treatments done to enhance her smile. And he said, you know what? I've got time next week to get that taken care of. She says, perfect. I'd love to get that done next week. And what that reminded me of was Eric has these skills. It reminded me of several things. One, the importance of photographs. Okay. When somebody says they don't want to take photographs, maybe it's not that they don't want to take them. They assume they're costing something, or you're trying to sell them something. So just to alleviate their fears when that comes up. And then two, schedule availability. That is the most important ability. And so the misbelief we have, or we've been led to believe in dentistry, is that we should be booked out for months. And that's a sign of a busy and healthy practice. And I couldn't disagree anymore with that. You know, in a perfect world, I don't want to be booked out more than a week at a time, because when people come in, I want to be seeing them. I want to be able to see them very quickly. I want to have availability. Now, let me qualify that a little bit. Now, being booked out only a week at a time is also predicated on having a good new patient flow, having a good consultation flow. If you're really into more complex and comprehensive dentistry, you got to have the consults coming in. You got to have the new patient opportunities coming in. So that's a predication on everything that we're talking about. You know, if you've built a practice that's just built on one single tooth dentistry, doing one tooth at a time on a majority of recall patients with very few new patient exams, then continue to do what you're doing. Things aren't going to change, but just continue to do what you're doing. But if you're like, hey, I've gone to COIS, I've gone to SPIA, I've gone to 3D Dentist, I've gone wherever, and I want to do more of that type of dentistry, then what I'm telling you is that your schedule is probably the main thing that's holding you back, and that's your availability.